This is the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Kendall of the notaballerina.com travel blog. Every episode, I'll share travel tales from several fellow travel lovers, and together we hope to entertain and inspire you, remind you of some of your own great travel experiences, and encourage you to hit the road again soon. Welcome to episode 52 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Today we're getting thoughtful about being creative, and this episode's titled How Travel Sparks Creativity. Now, I've often been amazed at how kind of creative and inspired I feel while I'm traveling. That might be in all kinds of ways, like creative with lots of ideas for stories I want to write, or inspired about, you know, new ways to kind of change my life, or business ideas, all kinds of creativity. And I did figure after a while that I probably wasn't alone, and it does turn out that many travellers feel the same way. So today I'm talking with three particularly creative people I admire about how they feel travelling affects their creativity. And if you are feeling a little creative too, then listen on, because at the end of the episode, I'm going to tell you about a special giveaway I've got happening. Now, my first guest today is Brooke McCallery from the Slow Home podcast, and she has some particularly interesting rituals around being creative when she travels, something that I'm actually going to adopt in the future. I love Brooke's ideas.
There's something that happens to me once I get on a plane or even on a train or in a car, and it doesn't have to be like an overseas trip. I don't know if it's the releasing of you know, the bonds of normal life, or the pressures, or the emails, or the notifications, or the, you know, social commitments. I don't know what it is, but when I get on the road in some capacity, I start to feel this creative flow that isn't always there. And it happens regularly enough for me to know that it's not a coincidence. Like, I'm not making this connection up. And I think part of it is just time, honestly. It's time that I don't necessarily have in day-to-day life to just sit and let a thought kind of come to life, you know, whether it's any time we go overseas, I will buy a notebook at the airport. It's just a little ritual that I have when I travel.
That's a lovely ritual. I like that.
And I use it just for whatever comes to mind. You know, we went to Canada a few years ago, so that one was full of little line drawings. Like, and I'm a terrible drawer. I don't do it for any reason other than that's what I feel like doing in the moment. So little drawings of the mountains, or I wrote poetry. You know, I've started sketching out the idea for a novel. Like, and none of them had any goal attached to them, which is, I think, what I love the most about it. It's just for, you know, you never see it on an Instagram feed. I never refer to it anywhere. It's just creativity for the sake of it. And it's one of my favorite things. And even if I don't think that I'll be doing anything like that when I travel, I always find myself hitting this moment of creativity where I'm compelled to open up my notebook and start doing something. And it's, you know, but I also feel like I start thinking more creatively when we travel.
Yeah, in all kinds of different ways.
I think it gives me a different point of view on problems that we're having, or obstacles that we're trying to overcome, or, you know, those forks in the road in life where you're like, which way do I go, which is right, which is wrong. Getting away from it and seeing it from maybe an elevated point of view, or a different point of view, or a closer or further away point of view, and combining that with the fact that you have a little more time seems to open up these other possibilities that hadn't been there before. So I feel like I think more creatively about life and, you know, what we're doing and where we're heading. And it's funny, Ben and I almost always come back from a trip, any kind of trip, with an idea, you know, or a plan, another trip, or something to kind of work towards. And it's never on purpose. It just gives us those opportunities to have the conversations that sometimes you don't get a chance to have in everyday life, and follow them through to their conclusion. Because even if you do get a chance to have those conversations in everyday life, they don't necessarily get finished. Mm. You know, the kids will interrupt or we'll have to go to work or something else happens. Whereas when we travel, we try to take it really slowly so that we do have the opportunity to have those full conversations. And yeah, I find so, so much true. Stems from it.
Yeah, so you're right. It's not just that freedom from everyday life that, you know, kind of opens up the brain to have those ideas to start with, but you're right, it's having the opportunity to continue thinking them. It's like, yeah. I'll often have a fantastic idea in the shower in the morning and then I get out of the shower and it's okay, make lunch, you know, pack the bag, get off to school, blah, 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 and there's no chance to, you know, that idea is forgotten. Or even if I scribble it down, you know, it's not the same as if you're on a plane trip for 12 hours and you can actually really think it through or talk it through.
Yes. I don't know what specifically it is about planes, and people hate long haul travel, and I get it. I totally understand. It's uncomfortable. You know, the food's horrible and you can't sleep and all that kind of stuff, but I love it. I get so creative and so like emotional. Don't know if it's the pressure. If I'm watching a movie, I will bawl my eyes out in a movie on a plane that I wouldn't normally be affected by. And similarly, I'll be overcome with all these emotions and I'll start writing and just, you know, creating worlds and all these things. I don't necessarily understand why.
Does it happen like on a long train journey or something? Does that have the same effect? Interesting. So it's that kind of long captive time where you can't do much else. You're just sort of with yourself.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Mm. And I think that's actually it. I'm someone who I really do enjoy that time spent alone. And with a couple of young kids and, you know, we run a business and all that kind of stuff, like life's full. Sometimes you don't get those long chunks of time to yourself where you think your best thoughts. And I think being kind of held captive in a train or a plane, you really do get that opportunity, particularly if you're with your family, but they're all watching a movie as well. So, you know, you kind of get that, the opportunity to really roll around in those thoughts.
So Brooke's ritual of buying a brand new notebook at the airport is a little bit exciting because I've never tried that before. I usually tend to travel with a new notebook, but I always get it somewhere else. And I don't know what it is about the idea of just getting it at the airport that really thrills me. I've never even seen notebooks at the airport. Obviously, they're there, or Brooke wouldn't have said this. Right, Brooke? So it's going to be something I try on my very next trip. I'm also curious about, Brooke and I mentioned that we tend to get extra emotional on a plane or a long train trip. That's certainly true of me, and I've always kind of assumed it's connected to feeling, I don't know, kind of overwhelmed and anxious by this long plane trip. I don't feel that way on train trips, though, but I do seem to have that extra emotion stuff happening as well. What's that all about? I don't know. If you experience that as well, please let me know so we can figure out what's going on. Now, my second guest today is Australian novelist Sarah Redoubt, and she's connected to this special giveaway I'm going to tell you more about at the end. That just is there to give you a little clue. Now, Sarah is extremely well-travelled and extremely creative, so she has some really interesting stuff to say about how travel sparks your creativity.
I think probably the biggest thing about travel and creativity is you're removed from the everyday, and it liberates you, I think, from if you've got more free time and everything, you're more relaxed, you're more open and you're on holiday. More experimental, but I think it also probably liberates your subconscious mind a little bit. Like the areas that in the day-to-day life you're focusing on getting the kids to school or making sure they're enrolled for singing lessons or swimming or whatever, all of those sort of things, you know, the library books are returned or you've you know, been to see the accountant or something, all of those boring things. That, they're just removed from you. They're just pushed out of your mind by the experience of traveling and then being on holiday. And it allows you, I think, to, you know, develop new narratives and to new memories and things and also imagine things.
So true, yes. You're right. It's you know, if you step on a plane or, you know, hop in a car and go on a long drive, then you no longer have any use to think of these mundane, ordinary things because you can't do anything about them not at home.
That's right.
That frees up this whole, you know, probably a large chunk of your brain to do something else.
Yeah, especially if you're a mother and you're, your job is really to do all that kind of admin stuff, especially with the children and everything. That's a big part of your everyday life. And if that can be removed, it's quite pleasant.
Yes, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Well, I was just thinking almost the reverse of that. It's a bit like being a child. I'm thinking my son, who's 6, doesn't have to worry about all the, you know, that's what time does school start and what do you have to bring and all of that, et cetera, et cetera. And so he therefore has all this time to be creative, which I'm quite envious of. Yes, and he is very creative. Like, oh, well, maybe we need to swap some of that around.
Yes, that's right. It is, you know, it's so liberating, isn't it? Especially, I mean, even just things like eating out more and that sort of thing. If you're not having to worry about, oh gosh, it's what are we going to have for dinner and what are we, you know, all of that sort of stuff. That's yes. Other things you can be thinking about, something else, something creative. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus all that new input of being in a different place.
That's right. And new, you know, visual stimulus and the food and the smells and the languages. And yeah, it's, I think it's really great. And often, if I'm not going on a really long haul sort of thing, I often take charcoal and sketch pads and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I think it's been a really good holiday if I've actually produced something. I might not ever show anybody, but it just you have enough, if you can relax enough to be able to do that and to look, just kind of have a kind of meditation almost on a landscape or something, I think that's a really good thing to do.
Yes, that's right. If you're somewhere that you can find somewhere beautiful and take enough time to sit there and enjoy it, then yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, so this holiday just gone, the summer Australian holidays, we went to Stradbroke Island and also Tasmania, and I took my little pad and everything with me on both of those, and I did actually produce a couple of things. So that was, I thought, oh, well, I must have relaxed. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good barometer, isn't it? So yeah, you had that chance to be, had a chance to be creative in a different way even.
That's right, yeah. Yes, because my oldest daughter was in France for 3 weeks. And it was, really, I needed distractions, so I wasn't worrying about her. So
I can imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, that's interesting to think. Yeah, so for you, it's creativity is not just as a writer, but even like to sketch for yourself and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes I find writing, it's so slow,
mm-hmm.
the whole process, and it can be frustrating. And my background's in PR, which is pretty fast and everything. And I sometimes just think it's nice to create art, even a drawing or a little watercolor or a painting or something, because it's more spontaneous and
it's something you can finish.
Yes, quickly. Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas that makes sense.
Takes years.
Yes, yes, you know, yes.
To actually get it published, yeah, to see it come out and everything, yeah.
Yes, yes, that's not something that happens on a holiday. My very favourite thing that Sarah's ever said, I think, is in this discussion when she said that travel liberates your subconscious mind. And I think that's so accurate, because that really, to me, describes how it's possible for inspiration and creativity to really hit you when you're travelling, because removing yourself from your day-to-day life, where that subconscious mind is always thinking, okay, I've got to do this before school pickup and I mustn't forget to pay the electricity bill and blah, 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 all of this stuff that, you know, is just part of life, but nobody really loves. When you travel, it's possible to really switch that off. I mean, sometimes not entirely, but often, especially if you're on a plane or something, you can't do any of those things while you're on the plane. Even if there's something you need to do later, you just have to forget about it. And I think that she's really onto something there, that there's kind of this whole extra part of your brain ready and open to being creative. And perhaps that's where some of this creativity that's sparked by traveling comes from. I'm also a little bit envious to hear that she's obviously also can sketch and draw and stuff. Sounds like she can, you know, do it. I mean, I can sketch, but I wouldn't show anyone those sketches. Sounds to me like Sarah can. And she can also write really well. I've mentioned her book, Le Chateau, on a recent episode because I just finished reading it. It was so fabulous. But more on that later. My final guest today is another Aussie novelist, Natasha Lester. She, in fact, just has a brand new novel out, which I have also just finished reading. I read it on holidays, the best way to read a book. And it's called Her Mother's Secret. It's a historical fiction set mostly in New York following World War One up to a bit before World War Two. Great stuff. And I'll put a link in the show notes to that because I highly, highly recommend it as a fantastic read. Natasha had some interesting stuff to say about creativity and how she uses travel as part of her creative process.
I even think just going to a different suburb in your own hometown is a creativity sparker because you see things that you don't normally see. I think we're so good at doing the same things every day and driving the same streets and going to the same places that, you know, and so something as significant as, you know, traveling for 20 hours to a completely different country can't help but open up all the creative parts of your brain and set everything firing. So, and again, that's where I find that a lot of the time just going out and walking the streets of whatever area you're in, that's where you start to make the amazing discoveries and find the things that you just want to look into a bit more, and you take the photos and you have all of that record kind of in your mind. So I think as I say, even just, you know, going to a different suburb can be just as good as going overseas, although obviously going overseas is even better.
Yes. Are you thinking of setting your next novel in, I don't know, Northbridge or something?
No, I've gone back to France and England, in fact, for the next one, so I might just have to travel there this year, which would be such a shame.
It's tough, but someone has to do it.
Yes. Yeah. But also, you know, as I say, like you meet other people, and all of my tour guides had stories to tell about the people who lived in the buildings that we were looking at, and they feed into my books. And just being in a different place, you see things in a different way, you're more observant. And I think particularly as a writer, you know, there's a great quote, I think it's Orson Scott Wells who said it, and he said, you know, most people walk past 1,000 ideas every day, but a writer might notice one of them or something like that. So he's basically saying there are ideas all around us, but the trick is noticing them. And I think you're more attuned to notice them when you're in a different place and you're seeing different things because everything is suddenly new and magical and exciting.
Yeah, I think that's right. You get to break away from the regular routines of home.
Yes.
So your mind is expecting a lot of new things perhaps.
Yeah.
And so then it's able to process them in a different way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I definitely find that I get lots and lots of ideas for not just to write or for anything, you know, all kinds of ideas, you know, new business ideas or new things I want to do when I get home.
Yeah.
I always come home feeling like, very creatively refreshed.
Yes, definitely. And I think, you know, you have to do that, you know, in whatever you're doing, you have to refuel the creative tank every now and again because it can run dry. And I've certainly gone through phases where I felt a bit dried out, and that's where I will go somewhere else, or usually I try and do something else that's sort of artistic or creative, like go to a gallery or go to the theatre or go to the ballet. Even like just yesterday I took the kids to see, there's a movie on at the moment called Ballerina, which is set in Paris when the Eiffel Tower was just being built, and so it's kind of half constructed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they recreate Paris amazingly and beautifully, and just in watching this kids movie that you would think like nothing, I got this idea for a story. So again,
there you go.
You know, going and doing something as simple as that can be a creative inspiration.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous, isn't it? Do you find that you get overloaded with creativity? Like you're on a trip to research for a particular novel. Do you come away with too many ideas, or are you able to kind of focus on the right creativity?
Because I always write a first draft of the book before I go and do my research, that first draft is almost like my research blueprint. So then when I'm looking at what I need to research, I research to fill in the gaps in that first draft. So that really focuses and narrows in my research efforts so that I'm, you know, I know what I need to find out. I then, you know, it can sometimes take a couple of weeks to Google to find the right places to go to then find that information out. So then I make the appointments and do all of that. But then obviously, as I say, sometimes when you're there, you find extra things that you didn't know you needed, but you can see a way of using them because you have that first draft. So you know what the story is. So you can say, okay, that Theatre du Palais Royal, that will make that scene just take it to the next level. So that's how I focus what I'm doing so that I don't get overloaded. And I'm also a bit of a one idea at a time kind of writer. I know some writers say they have drawers full of ideas. That's not me. I have my one book idea and I work on that. And then usually towards the end, another idea for the next book will come. So I don't often tend to have be overwhelmed by my creativity.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Not the not being overwhelmed, but it doesn't surprise me that you approach it in such an organised fashion.
Yeah, I think you have to get the most out of it. Because usually I'm only over, like, I was only in Paris for 5 days and New York for sort of 6 days. So it's quite a short time. You've really got to make sure you're taking advantage of every moment and getting out to everything you need to do. You don't want to come back and go, oh, my God, I should have gone there.
Exactly, that's right. Yeah. Well, yes, coming from Perth, it's a really long way to get to those places. So you really do want to make the most of it. You can't just pop back next week for another look. I really like Natasha's thoughts about ways you can refill your creative tank. And I think traveling, especially somewhere new and interesting and inspiring, is a fantastic way to refill that creative tank, I think. Or if nothing else, it's a really good excuse to go somewhere. I'm always looking for reasons to justify the urgent need to travel. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to episode 52 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Before I go today, I want to tell you about a special giveaway. So you might remember, I think I mentioned it in a recent episode, that I had caught up in person with Sarah Redoubt. She's actually a Brisbane writer, but she was here in Perth on a writing retreat she'd been awarded. And she was so kind to give me a special extra copy of Le Chateau, her fabulous novel set in France. And she has signed it already to a Thoughtful Travel Podcast listener, as in that, in a general thing, not to a specific listener yet. And so we're going to hold a competition to find a winner for this copy of Le Chateau, a book I heartily, heartily recommend. And I know that as Thoughtful Travellers, you will also enjoy this book, no doubt at all. So to have a chance to win, what I want you to do is to head over to the Thoughtful Travellers Facebook group, and I'll pin this competition to the top of the group so it should be easy to find. And you need to be a little bit creative, because I want you to answer this question: what would you do if you accidentally married someone who owned a French chateau? Now, I don't know what I would do if I accidentally married a French chateau owner, but I'm not convinced I would move to France. I think, I don't know. What would I do in a French chateau? I'm not sure. It's not my dream destination, but for some of you it might be. In any case, I'm not going to give you too many ideas. I want you to be creative. So tell me what you'd do if you accidentally married someone who owned a French chateau, and I'm going to ask Sarah to pick a winner, and that winner will receive this specially signed copy of her book, Le Chateau. So head over to the Facebook group. If you're not a member already, you can just search for Thoughtful Travellers in Facebook, or I'll also put a link in the show notes. The show notes today will be at notaballerina.com/52, because of course this is episode 52. And also in those show notes, you'll find some links to our wonderful guests from today. So for a start, you'll find Brooke McCallery's home on the internet at slowyourhome.com. And I'll leave a link to her Slow Home podcast, as well as a link to her newest book, Destination Simple. There's also will be a link to Sarah Redoubt's website. You can find her at sarahredoubt.com.au, and some links to find Le Chateau if you are not lucky enough or creative enough to win a copy of it in our Facebook group. And finally, Natasha Lester is at natashalester.com.au. So her current just released book, Her Mother's Secret, is out now, and I'll leave a link for that, as well as her previous book, which was also set in New York in 1920s New York, A Kiss from Mr. Fitzgerald. Both are super, super fabulous reads, and I heartily recommend them, especially if you have any kind of interest in New York City, and who doesn't? What a fabulous place. Otherwise, you can also find me on Twitter at Amanda Kendall and use the hashtag Thoughtful Travel Pod. For any other chatting, then just come across to our Facebook group at Thoughtful Travellers. This has been another episode of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Show notes and other information are at notaballerina.com/podcast. Join me again soon for another chat about why we travel. Bye for now.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.